You probably have known this or know this yourself, that after Easter, a lot of our readings come from the Acts of the Apostles, because it's the story of the church, story of us. It's our history. It's the way we began to grow as the mystical body of Christ, and also from Revelation to give us a sense of where we're heading, hopefully toward heaven, where St. John has this vision of the ancients, the angels, and the Son of God worshiped by all creation. And then, of course, in the Gospel, we often, during this season of Easter, hear from St. John's Gospel. As I said in the announcements, this coming Wednesday's an important day in the life of the Church, because that's the day that the cardinals will go into conclave, and they will be praying, and we'll be praying for them, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten them so that they choose the person that God has chosen as the head of the Catholic Church. We know, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the invisible head of the Church, but it was His will that a man be chosen from among men to lead and to guide the Church as supreme pastor. And so, as I said in the announcements, 267 such popes. Well, this will be the 267th. When our Lord walked on the earth, and when He first called His disciples, He didn't really need a conclave to decide who was going to be the first pope. He chose Peter from among the 12, and He changed his name to Rock. It was Simon, but He changed it to Peter, meaning rock, upon which He built His church. Remember, St. Peter was the one, when Christ asked, "Who do people say that I am?" He spoke very boldly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord said, "Peter, that came not from some man telling you this, but that came from God directly. You are inspired by God to know who the Son of Man is." But as we know from the Gospels, they don't really smooth this over too much. St. Peter was rather impetuous, and sometimes he faltered, and he faltered in a big way to follow Christ, especially when Christ needed him the most. Just as Christ predicted, St. Peter denied Christ 3 times, right during the time of his trial, his torture, his death. Not good, not good at all. But Peter felt so badly. He wept bitterly. He wept because of his fear, because of his refusal to accompany Jesus in that important time of his trial. But the Gospel of John, which we read today, tells us that our Lord gave St. Peter another chance. He renewed his love. And our Lord didn't change his mind about St. Peter. Even with St. Peter's faults and weaknesses, he still continued to uphold him. And he drew out from St. Peter 3 affirmations of love for Christ. And he kept asking him, "Are you willing to feed my sheep, to care for the lambs, to love me?" It was a huge task that Jesus was asking St. Peter to fulfill. And it was because of St. Peter's special love for Christ that he would be able to do it. And then our Lord predicted how St. Peter was going to die, that he would be led somewhere where he did not want to go. And we know by tradition that he was crucified. Tradition says upside down, because he did not want to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was crucified. And today we have the largest church in our Christian world, St. Peter's Basilica, and the altar is directly over top of the tomb where St. Peter's relics are kept. Seems like this story about St. Peter is very appropriate today because the church is preparing to enter into conclave in Rome. In Rome, that place where St. Peter was martyred and St. Paul and countless others. St. Peter was our first pope. His office will soon be entrusted to another in these coming days. This new bishop of Rome will be charged with feeding the Lord's lambs and his sheep, and therefore he must be a shepherd after the heart of Christ, and he must be willing even to lay down his life for the flock, just as Christ our good shepherd did. But we must pray, and as I said in the announcements, go to the chapel often to pray, make holy hours, fast, for that man who God has chosen to carry the burden of the Lord's flocks. As we reflect on these things this Sunday, it might be good to ask ourselves about our own relationship with Jesus. Do you think that if he was here in front of you and he asked you if you loved him, what you would answer him? Do we love the Lord? Is our relationship one of love, or is it just formal? Is it even cold? Do we really love him? And if we love him, how do we show that? I'm pretty sure most of you, perhaps all of you, could say that you love him and that you would be willing even to sacrifice your life for him. So much do you love him. Just like St. Peter, you'd be willing to follow him wherever he leads you. And in your own way, you want to be like a shepherd to your children and to your grandchildren, to your siblings, to your friends. I'm pretty sure that you want more than anything to live only for God. And that's what you want for your family and your friends. If you were asked to tell someone who Christ is, I think you would say, just like St. Peter did, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Redeemer, Savior, and my friend." We don't know, of course, what we would answer if we were put under the trial, if the Lord himself asked us these questions. But hopefully, we will tell him that indeed, we do love him. And so today, perhaps in our heart of hearts, we might say to the Lord, "Lord, I love you. I truly love you. And I thank you for all that you did to save us. May I show you how much I love you each and every day, and may I one day live and reign with you forever in the kingdom of God."